Our guest today probably has a harder decision than anyone who's been on the year that made me before. Because on the 2nd of May 2023, Morry Hart turned 100. And on the 19th of June, he'll step out to carry the legacy torch for the Torch Relay, marking 100 years of the organisation legacy, which supports veterans' families to carry on with their lives after the loss or injury of a loved one. So, yes, Legacy and Morry Hart were born in the same year and, as it happens, in the same city too. Morry Hart, welcome to the year that made me.
Thank you.
It's great speaking with you, Morry. Now, let's clarify one thing up front. We're calling you Morry, but I understand your family calls you Tom. What's that about?
Well, my grandfather's name was Morris. He told it was a disgusting name and decided to call me Tom. So he gave me a serviette ring with Tom on it. My family called me Tom.
And you're happy to go by either, are you?
Yeah, well, I only get Morris up in the Queensland and Tom is down in Victoria.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Melbourne.
Right. Well, we'll stick with Morry. Morry, could you tell us a little bit about your early years? Where were you born and what was your life like early on?
I was born in Melbourne. I had a very pleasant life of going to school with very good friends. One of them was Harold Little, who passed away last year, and who was my mate from the very first day right through. He even ended up in the same army unit. And we were friends forever. In fact, I introduced him to his wife, and she was a great artist. I have paintings on my wall here that were done by her. Mm. That's kind of how it was until I just suddenly got myself a job with AGC, and the next thing I'm in the army.
Yeah, well, because they were pretty tough years. You would have been 10 when the Great Depression hit. What was that like, Murray?
Yeah. Well, my father used to go out shooting rabbits for food.
Wow. And you said that you left school and you joined AGC briefly, but then you ended up in the army because, of course, the Second World War happened from 1939. Tell us about your experiences in the army.
Well, I went to Seymour, stayed there in a paddock for 3 weeks, got rushed to Warwick. From Warwick, we went to the Sunshine Coast because of an invasion. Stayed there for a little while, then the whole of the rest. By the way, this was only 22 Battery. The rest of the regiment stayed behind. He caught up with us at a place called North Arm on the Sunshine Coast, where we all joined forces, did a lot of training, and then 22 Battery was once again taken out, put on a boat and sent to New Guinea.
And what sort of action did you see in New Guinea, Morry?
Well, we went on patrols. We were anti-tank, which meant that any tanks came along, we could knock them out. But there were no tanks in that war, so we didn't really have any cause to use the gun. Eventually, after about a few months in Buna and Gona, they put us on a ship and we did a landing way past Lae. I don't know what the name of that was. It was called Gazika Village. And we landed in there, which was a rough, rocky sort of a place full of mud and jungle as usual. And we had a little bit of an action there. I got a bit of shrapnel and a few mates got a few bullet wounds, but nobody got killed, which was marvellous. Of course, there's no record because Ernie Honey, who was the RAP bloke, never wrote any reports unless you went to hospital. So you didn't know anything about it. All he said was patch you up and send you back. So then eventually they decided we had a place called Fortification Point and we couldn't move forward, and so they decided to send up a gun. Now, they weren't going to send up any old sergeant to be lost. So they sent a bombardier, Athol Steele. Jim Pierce, I think, was the layer. Morry Hart, the loader. Tom, somebody was standing up the ammo. And a very snowy-headed, fair-headed bloke came from Brunswick. I can't think of his name. And he prepared the ammo and set it up on the line to fire, and so we went forward and eliminated the blockage.
That sounds like some pretty lively times there, Murray. But the end of your army career was not so happy. Tell us what happened towards the end of your time in the army.
Well, after we did another landing then at Madang, by the way. We then caught another ship and did it at Madang, which was bloody horrible because it was all booby trapped and everything else. But that's all right. After that, they brought us back and they decided they'd send me off to a gun-laying course. We went to Maitland and they sent me off to a gun-laying course. I decided I'd fired at the enemy and I'd done everything else, so I didn't need to be told how to use a gun. So I just told them that I was going home. So I went
How did
home.
They react to that, Murray?
Well, nobody waited to see what reaction was. That was later. So I'd gone, that was it. But there's plenty of blokes to help you get down there. I remember I was had a bit of malaria on the way down and I wasn't feeling too good, but I learned that you don't do stupid things by jumping off trains and getting caught by provos.
But eventually they caught up with you, didn't they, Murray?
Oh, eventually they caught up with me, yeah. I got caught up eventually at 2 a.m. They put me then in the old Melbourne jail with Ned Kelly for a week.
A week? Oh, well, that's not too bad at least. What happened after that, Murray?
Well, I got remanded to the CO for sentence. And while I was in the place waiting for the train, I said to them, "Where's the train going?" They said, "No, I won't be waiting for a few days." I said, "Well, can I have a leave pass?" So they gave me a leave pass, even though I was under arrest.
Oh, well, you went legit the second time. That's good to hear.
So I went home again for a bit. Eventually, I got back to the CO at Maitland, and I lost all my money, of course, but that's nothing unusual. You don't worry about those things.
On the year that made me, we're speaking with 100-year-old Murray Hart, who's taking part in the Legacy Centenary Torch Relay in June. And Murray, what did you do after the war?
Well, I went back to AGC, worked for them for quite some number of years. And then eventually I decided I was sick of that sort of job and went and got myself a job as out selling vacuum cleaners like Mr. Jolly and the vacuum cleaner man. And a few other things, a couple of little jobs here and there and different things, and eventually went back into the finance company and got picked up by Kager Finance, which is the commercial banking company of Sydney.
And around this time as well, you built a family?
Yeah, well, I had 2 children. My son's still alive, turned 68 yesterday, 69 yesterday, sorry. And my daughter died of cancer at the age of 50 up here.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Unfortunate.
Yes, yeah. Murray, as I said, choosing a year that made you is a tough task for anyone, but in your case, you've got 100 to choose from. What year have you chosen as the year that made you?
I think the best thing happened is when the Kager Finance said, "We're going to open a branch on the Gold Coast. You're nominated. Let us know within 24 hours and you won't be going up until next year." But I went up immediately and I opened the branch here and got it going and I had a great life in Queensland, and I've got more friends in Queensland, I think, than I've got anywhere.
Right. So that was obviously a big change for you going up to Queensland. So what year was that, Murray?
1971.
So tell us about the work that you did in Queensland for CGC, Murray.
Well, we were a finance company and we lent money to organisations such as RACQ Finance was our thing, all the vehicles. We did anything else that was going, such as a couple of high-rises, although I'd found them to be a bit of a dead loss. You don't win on those. My territory was down as far as, they said Port Macquarie. I never went there because there was nothing happening there. So I went down as far as Hastings. But we had, you know, Lismore and Tenterfield and Coffs Harbour, et cetera, all the way down. That was the the area that I had, and I had a staff of seven, one chap with another car going out to see everybody around the bush and finance anything at all that I thought was a good idea.
And, Maurie, as I said, you and the organisation Legacy have your centenary in the same year. How long has your association with Legacy been?
Oh, I can't remember, but after I retired from the company, I won't go into that detail.
sounds like there's a story there, though.
Well, we got gobbled up by the NAB and we all got the sack.
Oh, dear.
So, and then I ran around trying to find work for some of my staff, which I was successful with four of them. But you ran your own business. You didn't have to go and refer the matter to some big wig. I remember one time I did a deal and I wrote a book virtually about how good it was. And the boss rang me up and said, when you condense it down to three lines, we'll accept it. So that was the way the company worked.
Well, you've obviously got away with words, Murray.
Yeah. Then after that, I finished work. So I transferred over to Legacy because some bloke said they needed help. I said, right, I'll join. They said there won't be much work to do. And in 3 weeks, I had 55 widows to visit.
Wow. So obviously great work that Legacy was doing, and you've given very generously of your time over the years, and you're going to do it again for...
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, all right, good on you. Even at the...
I'm still having a ladies' meeting once a month.
Good on you.
And I ring on the phone to people.
That is fantastic. And, Maurie, I imagine you got a few phone calls around about the 2nd of May 2023 because that was your 100th birthday. What's it like to turn 100?
Oh, well, it got confusing in the end. I had so many parties that didn't seem to finish. It started with one on the Sunday on the 30th. I think there were 90-odd people came to that with all my... 9 great-grandchildren and my 7 grandchildren. And then the next thing I know, that my solicitor who looks after my affairs decided to have a party, and we went to his home and had another great big party. And then the organisation here ran a party on the Friday for another massive great party.
Oh, it sounds exhausting, Murray.
I was exhausted, I can tell you.
And did you get a few formal recognitions from dignitaries on your 100?
And the Governor General and the King and the Prime Minister.
And how do you feel about hearing from all those dignitaries?
Well, I thought that was excellent. So I prominently displayed the one with the King and the Governor General.
And, Maurie, I understand that you're living in an aged care home now, but you lived at home by yourself until you were 99, is that right?
That's correct. 15 years, I think, I looked after myself.
What's the secret of your longevity, Maurie?
I haven't the foggiest idea because all my family died in their 70s, so 60s and 70s. My sister even hung on until she was 96, I think. I can't remember now.
And what's life like for you these days?
Well, it's still reasonably pleasant because I've got a lot of friends and they do come and visit me and we sit down here for a few ales and have a talk. Then I go out sometimes and we go to the pub together and generally have a lot of fun. And the staff are brilliant in this place. They're absolutely brilliant and they look after me. Not that I need much looking after. I consider I look after myself better.
Well, it sounds like you are doing great at the age of 100 and getting around to the pub occasionally as well. Are you looking forward to the torch relay?
I am. I'm looking forward to that. I didn't think I'd do it, and then I decided I better do it. Going to have to do it on a walking stick, of course, but that won't matter. I've got all the gear here ready to put on, ready for the day, and they've nominated a little area for me to walk, not too far, and all my friends will come. I also led the Anzac Day March in Southport this year for the first time, and I led that in the Jeep.
Well, good on you, Maury, and thank you for your service both in the war and then all the voluntary work that you've done with Rotary and Legacy, and we wish you all the very best for the Centenary Torch Relay. It's been great speaking with you. I'm not surprised that you get quite a few visitors at the home who want to have a chat with you, because it is great fun chatting with you, Maury.
Yeah.
And thank you again for speaking with us. We always finish The Year That Made Me by asking our guests to nominate a piece of music. And I gather you've asked for something by Adele, is that right?
That's correct.
What do you like about Adele?
I just think she's got a good voice and the music would appeal to me.
Fantastic. Well, just for you, Maury Hart, we're going to play Adele, Crazy For You. Thanks very much for speaking with us once again.
Righto. Thank you. Bye.
Found myself today singing out loud your name. You said I'm crazy. If I am, I'm crazy for you. Sometimes sitting in the dark, wishing you were here, turns me crazy. But it's you who makes me lose my head. And every time I'm meant to be acting sensible, you drift into my head and turn me into a crumbling fool.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.